On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, and he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in my customary prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. When I was growing up, we would have large family gatherings, and part of that was probably due to the fact my mother had three siblings, so particularly my uncle, when we would go to his house, there wasn't a table large enough that we could all come together at supper time. So there was in the other room a smaller table with lower chairs called the kids table. Exactly right. Many of you know that kids table. I remember when I would sit, and I'd especially with my cousins who were significantly older than myself, they could be at the adult table while I was still at the kids table with my much younger second cousins, and I would think to myself, I just want to be at that adult table. This kids table stuff's no fun. The recent family gathering I had with my wife's sister's family in Texas, there was a table that her father had fashioned, a beautiful table, about 7 feet in length. But to the end of that table was another table that was an extension table at the same height as the customary table, designed for the children, the kids' table, adjoined with the grown-up table. At one moment, when my wife and I retreated into the other room so we could talk openly. You never do that at family gatherings, do you? Ever. I remember saying, you know, when the kids are at the same table, they really hijack the conversation. It all becomes next thing they want. I need this. They run around. You got to tell them, please sit down, eat. No, you have to ask permission before you get up. No, don't go to the other room and grab the dessert before you finish your entree. And then she said to me, "Honey, if the children never eat with the adults, how will they ever learn how to have conversation? How will they ever learn to have adult conversation?" Well, I was convicted in that moment, and I confessed to her. I said, "Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way." But yet I still say to you, I relish that time when the kids have pretty much sped eat their eating their food and they're done in 5 minutes and they run off and you get to sit there and just enjoy time with the grown-ups talking about grown-up things, important things, things that kids would be bored to tears if you talked about while they were still there. Our scene today from Luke. There are no children present, as far as we can tell. But there might be. But it's a dinner. It is the holiest of days of the week, a day when the groups of religious leaders would customarily get together and they would talk over a meal about religious matters and study the scriptures and debate. Grown-up talk about important things. This could have been why Jesus was at this particular gathering. They wanted to see what he had to say about some of these things. Just like those extended family gatherings, though, I think they had their eye on Jesus. You know, even when the kids leave the group table, there's always one relative, isn't there? The proverbial drunk uncle or the rebellious cousin who you just wait to hear what outlandish thing they're going to say to disrupt the family gathering, don't you? Absolutely. We all have them. I think Jesus was probably that person for them at that party. Maybe they were even hoping he would say something so outrageous that they would finally have grounds to call up the Jewish authorities and say, hey, we got this guy here, and he just said this. You got to come take him away. He's crazy. Reason, finally, to shut Jesus up. You recall from last week, he's done a lot of things to offend people. He healed on the Sabbath day. Remember, the woman was crippled for 18 years. He healed her. They got incensed, and he countered them. So it's not unlikely that at this moment they're looking for some reason to shut Jesus up and finally say, you've gone too far. Well, maybe, though, on the other hand, they could be just really intrigued by him. Maybe they just want to watch him and see what it is about him that's so magnetic. So many people clamor to him. So many people follow him. So many people hang on every word he says. What is it about Jesus? Well, the Pharisees are watching Jesus nonetheless, and here we are at this church, in a way watching Jesus. Maybe we're here with a bundle of mixed emotions about who Jesus is and whether he's going to say something that's going to offend us or something that will make us happy and satisfied. No matter why we're here, I know Jesus can teach us, move us, help us. So it's at the Sabbath meal at the Pharisee's house. People are watching Jesus. He's like that, maybe that drunk uncle or that kid. They're keeping their eye on. But surprise, Jesus is watching them. Isn't that funny? He always does that. He observes this musical chairs, if you will, these jockeying for position at the table. And his response is to be countercultural, a topsy-turvy kind of etiquette. He tells them, always take the less prestigious place so that when your host gets there, he'll say, well, move up. And to those top ones who've assumed too much, get at your place, move down. Voltaire once said that all human history is a story of silk slippers going downstairs and wooden shoes going up. Very interesting. History is read as a story of the rising up of those who've been pushed down and the pushing down of those with power and privilege. It would seem Voltaire observed the kingdom dynamic at play in his life. Jesus turns to his hosts and he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you'd be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In other words, invite those people who you have very little in common with. Once it's going to be hard to have these highbrow religious debates with and conversations, ones that don't advance your social position, invite them. In that culture, in that day, well, in this culture today, I would say, we often invite others expecting to be repaid, to be invited by them in return. Jesus is advocating nothing less than a complete turning upside down of our most cherished values and widely practiced social ethics. Show extravagant generosity to those who have no way of returning the favor. And even though Luke doesn't say much about this, I imagine there was considerable pushback by both guests and hosts that night at the table. Much like being told that they need to go sit at the kids' table by hosting a bunch of demanding kind of people with needs. People who make a mess, maybe, or have no means of returning the favor. Some of us, perhaps, have worked hard to get a seat at the grown-up table. Others of us have paid a high price to be given the best seat at the table. Still others of us have worked hard to make sure that we maintain our network of family and friends and associates. Maybe we regularly entertain them. We make sure they're included in holiday events. Now we are told by Jesus that we've got the wrong idea. That in his kingdom, our rules are not God's rules. Well, it's quite a jolt. Like our grown-up tables, I expect that at the table that Sabbath day were those expected to have a pleasant adult conversation, respectful discussion of spiritual matters and theological ideas and inspirational thoughts. Jesus, though, spoils their plans by bringing discussion right down to earth. He relates the behaviors and attitudes of the table to their daily behavior. He lays it all out on the table, as so to speak. He passes judgment not on their religious ideas, but on their earthly behavior as hosts and guests. He marks their behavior as trying to advance themselves apart from how God would so order their lives. Researchers have concluded that a primary reason people under 30 in our culture give for their lack of church involvement is the church is too judgmental. Today's gospel depicts Jesus in the role of judge, criticizing all of our judgmental behaviors about who we associate with and who we are, particularly at social gatherings, telling people with power and privilege what they should stop doing and what they should now do instead. So I ask, has Jesus done the same for you and for me? Many years ago, my family hosted a man at our church who had no family. We had him over for Christmas. It was just a moving of the Spirit that we knew that this man had nowhere to be. A man who served the church in very quiet ways. And I still say to you that that dinner with that man stands out in my memory as one of the biggest blessings I've experienced in serving in ways that perhaps Christ called us to. No Christmas since that time has looked quite the same. We've tended to go back to the customary setup. But there are opportunities, I think, for each of us to see those in our midst, those whom God is calling us to invite, to be host to. So what if the thoughts of how we serve and who among us can give is more than just a discussion, theological ideas, but actually plays out in our lives, in our practices? What if what we do and talk about on Sunday morning translates to our dinners Sunday night? Jesus came to us, and he still does, intruding into the complacency and the socially conditioned behaviors in our homes, in our lives. He says things to us that challenge the way we are living. He loved us enough to tell us about how God's kingdom differs from ours, how God's ways aren't always the same as our ways. He lifted up the lowly, pushed down the proud, so that we can all experience that joy that I spoke with the children of that equal fellowship. He makes us all part of the kids' table because he also said, unless we have the faith of a child, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe some people, perhaps this Pharisee who was Jesus' host, made sure to never invite him back again. Never invite him to sit at their table or accept an invitation to be with him. They wanted a little polite religious conversation. They wanted a time of escape from everyday life. They wanted affirmation, not criticism. So they made note, perhaps, not to invite Jesus again. Others, I think, chose to, and still do, to sit at the kids' table, to choose to sit with the least influential and the downtrodden, the broken, the socially and physically crippled, because we know that in doing so, we sit with Jesus at the kingdom table. We sit with the one who himself would be scorned and rejected and treated like a criminal and find himself on the cross. We listen to the one who teaches us words that are hard to hear and challenge us. Sometimes our attitudes are like the Pharisees, but sometimes they're more of what Jesus would hope for us. We watch Jesus closely. We dare to pattern our lives after his because that's where true satisfaction will be found. Will Willimon, a noted church pastor and scholar, tells a story of a church that had fallen on hard times. Their membership had dwindled. They had attempted to attract new people to church, particularly young families, but with little response. Then their young pastor challenged them with these words: "Don't invite your neighbors or relatives to come with you to church. Invite someone whom you don't know that well. Invite someone who is having a rough time right now. Don't say to them, 'I want you to come to church with me and meet some people whom I think you will like.' Say to them instead, 'We need you to help us make the church that Jesus intends us to be. Say to them, your presence among us could make us a better group of followers of Jesus.'" Then that pastor added this: "Isn't there someone among your acquaintances who's just lost someone they love? How about someone who lost her job and is anxious about her future? Or do you know someone who has been hurt by someone else? Invite them. Tell them we don't want them to go through their difficulties alone. Tell them what we want them to hear are the stories we want them to bear their burdens to us so we can help them carry them." Fortunately for us, there's a lot of hurting folk out there, and there's a lot of loneliness in our town. Well, the response was that church grew. Surprise, surprise. He said, "We had been trying to reach people who had already too much to do and too little time, people who were overprogrammed and very busy. The key was to look for people who have nothing better to do on a Sunday morning than to be with us and to be with Jesus." I'm thinking that the person that God wants invited here is in your life. Maybe you're someone here this morning who's been buffeted by life. So you said yes to an invitation to join Jesus and his friends at the table. Or maybe you are someone who's had a fairly easy life. Someone's received lots of respect and generosity from others, from God, and you reached out and invited others. Reaching out to those whom Jesus invites to his table. Realizing you are a child of God. That we're all at the kids' table. Whoever you are this morning, remember the kids' table in the kingdom is the place to be. The place of laughter and honesty. The place where we experience the breaking in of God's generous spirit. So today, ask God how you can risk having a meal, having a dinner chat with Jesus and those that he is inviting. All glory, praise, and honor be unto God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, for the word revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.